This is a Fan 590 podcast. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. This is Primetime Sports on the Fan Radio Network. Rogers Sportsnet and Sirius Channel 97.
6 minutes past the hour. This is Primetime Sports for Tuesday, June the 22nd, 2010. Bob McCowan, John Shannon in our Toronto studios. It's the nation's most listened to sports talk presentation on the Fan Radio Network coast to coast on Sirius Channel 97 for those of you who don't have terrestrial systems and for those of you who don't own radios at all in high definition on Rogers Sportsnet. What do you got?
Well, it's just the update on the of getting a Nabokov situation in San Jose. They are going in a different direction. The Sharks will have a new goalie next year.
Or they're going to play without one.
Well,
they don't clarify which is either is possible.
And there were times during the playoffs that I think that's where they did
play with one. More on that a little bit later on. It is inducement day into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and it is a memorable and historic day. Not often you can say that, but it's historic.
Mm-hmm.
Today, two of the fairer sex have been induced into the Hockey Hall of Fame, Cammy Granato and
Angela James.
Angela James, who was on this program last night, and Cammy Granato is going to join us a little bit later on.
So really? Oh, good.
Had both of them.
Excellent.
And the sole male player inducted, Dino Cicerelli, will join us in a bit, too. So we got them all.
Power pack.
And we'll address this, but it is, I mean, it's historic that women are finally in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I don't know anybody that thinks, I mean, I'm sure there's some dum-dums out there, but we think they should have been there before this, but we're pleased that they're
in their
now.
Own category, yes. By the way, there are women already in the Hall of Fame in the builders category, Bob.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Remember the builders category?
Yeah, we're not going to go down
that. It's the catch-all builders category.
We're not going to go down that road again. Meanwhile, so it's hockey in this hour, and who'd have thought that? And it's the middle of June, and here we are talking all hockey. Also news out of Edmonton today, Pat Quinn out as head coach. Tom Rennie will take over as the head coach, and Mr. Quinn will have some advisory role
right
with the franchise. And joining us to talk about it is the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, Steve Tambellini. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. First of all, give me your take on Granato and James going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. This is it's about time, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I had a chance through the 2002 Olympics and work with the women that were participating in Salt Lake City. And, you know, the level of commitment and what they represent for our country, the contribution, people don't know how much they give and how great they really are as not only just hockey players, but athletes and people. So long overdue for me.
Without seven-figure contracts.
Yeah, that is true. There's a big difference there.
Well, and I must confess, Steve, that and John and I talked about it yesterday with Angela. You know, I had some concern that maybe the Hall of Fame might ease their way into this, wait a year, maybe two, in order to do this. I had great concern that this was going to happen. I was thrilled when I was driving into work today and heard that both of them had gotten in. And I assume, did you have the same kind of fears that maybe, you know, they drag their feet for a year or two?
Possibly. Yeah, it crosses your mind. But, I mean, I got to know Cammy through a relationship with Ray Ferraro. And these are, I mean, incredible athletes that deserve the recognition, regardless of category or male, female. They're just outstanding athletes. So
okay.
I'm up for it.
Enough of talking about players from Trail BC, okay? now, on a serious note, Pat Quinn was, I think it would be fair to say, was one of your mentors?
Without question.
How difficult was today to tell and to announce that he was not going to be the coach of the Edmonton Oilers?
Well, it's a decision that, you know, I wanted to make sure that we had time postseason to think about things. I wanted Pat to have some time. This whole progression of where we are from a reorganization standpoint of, you know, we talked about succession plan and that ideally what my plan was is to have Pat after the second year move into a role like this, and Tom Rennie, who was as an associate coach, with had great authority there, would move into the spot. But having said that, once we saw last year with the lack of depth, with the injuries that probably exposed a lot of things, it became very, very clear to me and the rest of the organization and this market that we're fooling ourselves if we think we can just sign a free agent and fix things here. Or make one good trade and fix things. We're in a total rebuild mode, and we're excited about that. And we've got some great kids coming here. We're going to obviously have a great pick coming up on Friday. But it basically accelerated my succession plan by a year. And that was the decision I had to make over the last couple months here. Is this the right time? And, you know, I said, do I wait a year and just stay status quo, or do we say, okay, let's get the people in the right spots, got the right staff in place here. We got a lot of work to do with our minor league team, formalizing a whole player development section. It's time to move. So made the decision.
I would think, knowing Pat a little bit, that he would have been a little reluctant to accept the notion that somebody else might be better with a younger team than he himself would have been. What can you share with us on how he responded?
Well, you know him well, and he's a coach first, and I think if Pat had the opportunity to coach 15 years from now, that he would want to coach.
Yeah,
but this is more. With all respect, this is more about where we are as an organization from a development standpoint, that this is the right thing that I believed for Pat at this time. It's the right thing for the Edmonton Oilers at this time. I told him that I'm as excited to have him in this advisory role as I did as a coach. I mean, we need a lot of great people here to move this thing forward.
What happens to the assistants, Steve? Wayne Fleming and Kelly Buckberger are on the staff. Where do they stand now?
Yeah, Tom needs to meet with them, and he's going to come back. And I know he thinks highly of both of those people. But I think it's important for Tom to present a plan to myself of how he wants to go forward. But I know he thinks a lot of them. Tom and I just basically finalized this whole situation last night, so there hasn't been much time for him to branch out.
When you sat down, Steve, with Tom, I assume he painted some kind of a picture as to what he sees going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a parallel of what you saw? Was it tangibly different than what you thought might happen under Pat?
No, I don't think it's about Pat, Tom, really, as much. Bob, I think, like I said, it's back to really where we are. You know, we may have three 19-year-olds in our lineup next year. Was it frustrating for our coaching staff last year? Absolutely. But we paid a price, obviously. We lost a lot of man games. We finished in 30th, which the good news, bad news, right? We select first on Friday. But Tom is on board basically what we have to do here the next couple of years to help develop some young people. We're going to play some young people in some spots, and they may be close to ready and not totally ready, but they're going to get a chance.
Philosophically, though, Steve, how much different will Tom's style of game be than Pat's?
Hard to say at this point. I think it's going to be based a lot about what our personnel is. Yeah. I mean, both are structured as far as from a defensive mindset. Pat and Tom both like to think that they can take offensive opportunities based upon good defensive play. And we're going to have some people that have obvious offensive flair, and we're going to try to make sure that we don't cap that offensive ability by just so much structure, that's for sure. But we just have to have a nice balance there where we can allow them to develop.
You know, there's been lots of discussion about your draft situation, but not very much discussion about the Oilers and how active you're going to be in free agency. So before you tell Bob whether you're going to take Sagan or Hall, how active will the Oilers be on July the 1st?
Well, I think we'll be active, but we're not looking for the home run here. We're looking for some depth players in position. We need to do to retool the bottom end of our defense for sure. We need to maybe change a little bit of our bottom six forward. So we're not looking for that home run through trade or free agency at this point.
And you're happy about your goaltending?
Well, we have three goaltenders. You know, two goaltenders that are, you know, a little bit different as far as the stage of their experience, but they're both NHL goaltenders. And Nick Habibulin, his health is good. We need someone back there to be able to, you know, settle things down if we are going to be that young.
With Steve Tambellini, the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. And again, before we get to the draft selections, as you build this team, are you of the philosophy, Steve, that it's okay to be young across the board, or do you have to have or want to have some veteran stability on that lineup? Because there are two schools of thought. If you're going to rebuild it, you might as well just rebuild it and have as many guys under the age of 25 as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And there's the other philosophy that, well, even then, you got some young kids. You need some veteran presence or leadership. Which school are you in?
I think, Bob, that you need great people around young people. I think you need quality character veterans to want to reach out and help and want to make sure that you know that they don't allow these young guys to make the type of mistakes on or off the ice. You know, as far as the professional side of what we need to going forward. So I'm totally on side with the fact that we can't have 24 players that are 20 years old.
Man.
We need some leadership.
Do you think you have enough of that now?
We can never have enough of leadership, ever.
Okay.
I mean, I would say we do need more character. We need more people that are just proud to wear that jersey and play in an intense market like this. And eventually we're going to get them.
A couple of questions for me about the draft situation. And I'm going to ask the question that you almost assuredly will not answer. But have you decided, at least, who you're going to take on Thursday?
Friday, rather.
I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay. So you're not going to tell me even if you've decided. All right.
Yeah.
What would you say the chances are, or have you even reached out and explored the possibility of any kind of movement? Which
yes.
is to you have.
Yes.
And yes. Is there a, would you say there's a chance?
Of moving that pick?
Well, even a flip of, and what I'm getting at, I suppose, is if you have a player in mind and Boston has a player in mind and they are different players, I think you'd want to know that. And then now you get into a scenario that's existed in other drafts, in other sports, and maybe in hockey too, I can't remember, in the past where, if you can get your guy at two, and guarantee the other guy gets his guy at one, maybe there's some benefit to you. Have you even addressed that?
Well, one, you're assuming that we both like different players.
Well, that's what would have to be. That would be the situation, yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, my job in the situation where I'm at, you know, we're starting from the bottom up. So I would be crazy not to listen to any scenario.
Right.
And I've told people, like, I have no idea what that would look like for me to recommend to my owner and Kevin that it's right to move the first overall pick. You know, it would have to be something incredibly significant, but I still have to listen.
Are there nibbles out there? I mean, you're not going to tell. I know you're not going to tell me specifically, and I'm not even going to ask you specifically. But when you hold the first round pick, and it's just assumed that you have a guy and you're going to pick the guy, are teams reluctant to call you about, hey, what would it take to get that guy from you, or do they actually pick up the phone?
Both, Bob. I think some people just want to see, like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of is your plan of attack? How are you handling this? And other people would be like, I'm not even bothering to call. I'm not going to suggest something that, why'd I even ask, you know? But there's some people that, you know, have come forward and just kind of skirt around the issue. And I know when we get closer to, say, Thursday, that I'll be entertaining some suggestions on how to help my hockey club.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if I'm you, and I'm just, I guess I'm using logic because I've never been in your position before, but I'm thinking, you don't want to say no, but B, the first question thing I'd say is, well, you know, if you want to talk, put something on the table. I'm not even going to address anything, theoretically, unless there's something on the table that tweaks my interest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think most people respect that. Don't waste someone's time if you don't really want to be in the game. I think people realize that you know, it's a significant pick. It's a significant time for the organization. Yeah, there's not a lot of time to be just talking about fluff right now.
So bluntly, has anybody tweaked your interest with an offer?
Not really.
Not really yet, huh? Okay.
Well, even though Peter Chiarelli, Peter, who has the number two pick, he keeps telling everybody that he talks to you all the time, so...
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't help any of the discussions, Steve.
No, it should be interesting.
Hey, the other thing is, part of the equation is buying out players. Are you close to considering buying a few of your players out that, quite frankly, and I'll be blunt, weren't as proud to wear the Oiler logo as some people would have been?
I really don't want to go there, John.
Okay.
I mean, there's lots of things happen. That'll be probably a decision...
Before July 1st?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Steve, good of you to take time for us tonight. We greatly appreciate it. We wish you good luck with whatever happens on Friday, and we'll see you down the road, I hope. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate it. All the best to both of you.
Steve Tambellini, the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. Who gave us a little bit, but not...
That's a tough job. I tell you what, in that town, they're as hockey crazy there and as hockey demanding as anybody in North America. And everybody has an opinion. There's people in there that want Sagan. There are people there that want Hall. I would suggest, though, that the fact that the Bruins dealt for Nathan Horton, a power forward, today, probably tells us that they'd be happy with Sagan as second.
Quickly, am I wrong in suggesting that in these two guys you have two very good players, but I'm not sure you have a franchise player?
You're wrong.
You think I'm wrong?
Do
you think both of them are franchise players?
Yes,
you really do, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We're hearing big names. We're hearing Steve Yzerman like names for Sagan. We're hearing that type of thing. We're hearing Cam Neely style for Hall.
Well, we'll see.
If you can get 50 goal scorers and 100 point centermen, those are franchise guys, Bob.
I wouldn't dispute that. I'm not 100% sure, but. I don't throw that out as a definitive response, just more of a question. I just wonder what you have here. We'll take the break. We'll tell you what's coming up when Primetime continues on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius 97, and Roger Sportsnet.
Primetime Sports is on the Fan Radio Network, Roger Sportsnet, and Sirius Channel 97.
When we come back, the Hockey Hall of Fame is well represented. Two of its newest members, Dino Cicerelli, Cammy Granato, both live on Primetime Sports.
Primetime Sports is on the Fan Radio Network, Rogers Sportsnet, and Sirius Channel 97.
Bottom of the hour, the radio program continues coast to coast on the Fan Radio Network, the nation's most listened to sports talk presentation, also on Sirius Radio, Channel 97, around the world and up your street, and on Rogers Sportsnet in high definition, Bob McCowan, John Shannon. A little bit later on, Cammy Granato, among those selected to the Hockey Hall of Fame today. And next, the only male player selected this year. It's been a long wait, by our recollection, what did we say, 7, 8 years?
8 years.
8 years of waiting for Dino Cicerelli. But with 608 career goals, 592 assists, virtually a point a game over the course of his career, many would say this was long past due. Congratulations, Dino.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Sounds good, guys. I'm just glad it happened. It took a little longer than I thought, but I'm glad I'm part of it.
I don't doubt for a second that virtually every year since you were eligible, and I think your eligibility started in 2002, if I'm not mistaken. That is
yeah,
that right?
I'm not sure. You guys would probably know better than me.
Well, we're trying to figure out. You retired in '99, so we're 3 years ahead.
We figured
2002, so that'd be 8 years. Did you sit by the phone? Did you try and not think about it? What did you do on days like this?
I think this year, I'm with a couple friends right now. We're just talking about that. This year, probably more than any year, I kind of told everybody to kind of keep their distance from me. I don't want to hear about it until it happens.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the media starts calling, maybe a week prior, and then they start telling me that, this is your year and it's going to happen. But until you get the call, I mean, you can dream and you can think about it. And that's why it's such an honor when you actually do get the call from the Hall. And, I obviously get pretty excited. I think about 3 or 4 years ago, when my dad had cancer, maybe that was the 1 year where I was really probably sitting by the phone, like you said, and hoping I got the call because, you know, he only had a few months left. And, obviously, from what I was told, we missed it by, we missed it by just a little bit. But my mom just passed away a few months ago, so... But I guarantee you, both of them are up there with a big smile on their face, looking down.
Dino, compare this to any accomplishment you had through your NHL career. Where does this rate?
Well, I this is obviously the ultimate. You know, I wasn't one of the fortunate ones able to win a cup. I dreamed about it. Obviously, you know, you see the guys. I probably watched, I'd say, close to 40 cup celebrations from when I was a kid through my whole playing career to most recently, and I always dreamed about drinking out of that thing and passing it on to my dad, and wasn't able to do that. I mean, you guys know in this sport, unfortunately, you only celebrate winning the cup. You don't celebrate winning a division or the conference, you know, like other sports do, and... so there's only a select few that can actually do that. And I won't be drinking out of the main cup tonight, but I think I'll be drinking out of a lot of cups tonight.
Hopefully you won't be buying any in Sarnia tonight either.
Not at all.
My recollection of you when we first saw you was... everybody at the Met Center in the Twin Cities waving those stupid dinosaurs from Sinclair Oil on your way to the Stanley Cup Final in your first year. I guess you imagined that would happen every year.
Yeah, you do. You know, things happen so quick, you know, coming up that first year. A lot of people don't know I started off in Oklahoma City. And, you know, a lot of thanks goes by so many people, but the first thing I did today when I got the call, I mean, it just makes you reflect automatically to, geez, I want to call, you know, because I had an hour before I went on did the press conference. I had an hour before we were going to do that, and I just started thinking, I need to call some people that meant so much to me on the way up from, family and brothers and sisters to, Roy and Laura Chaffee in London, where I billeted playing for the London Knights, and especially Don Brankley, who was a trainer. You guys know Don Brankley. He's been there forever, or was there. He just retired because I broke my leg, and this guy drove me back and forth to the hospital, back and forth, just for rehab and stuff, to Lou Nanny, who pretty much was the only guy that gave me an opportunity, and said, hey, this guy could score goals before he broke his leg, so let's give him a shot. Sent him down to Oklahoma City, and then got the call 50 games later, and then, geez, we went right on to the Stanley Cup Finals and scored 14 goals, and you just think it's going to happen every year, but it doesn't happen that way. You know, it took me 14 or 15 to get back to the Finals with the Wings against Jersey, and, those first two games, I don't know if you guys remember, could have went either way, and then we lost them, but, you know, we ended up losing to Jersey, and never got another chance after that, so... it's only a select few guys that are able to win a cup.
Well, the thing you should be commended for is not only did you get to the Hockey Hall of Fame, but you got to the Hockey Hall of Fame as an undrafted player, and that in itself is quite an accomplishment when you think about it. And the fact that you broke your leg, just to put statistics in for the listeners, that year in Oklahoma City, you scored 32 goals in 48 games. And then when Dino's hit 14 goals in the playoffs, that was 14 goals in 19 games. And that was against the New York Islanders and a few other pretty good hockey clubs.
Yeah, Calgary Flames, we went through, who did we go through? We went through Buffalo and then Calgary and then the Islanders. But, Yeah, again, it's all about, you know, try to tell the kids nowadays, it's about you get an opportunity, boy, you know, run with it. And, Lou Nanny, I know he's a huge supporter, and gave me that second chance. And, you know, I think, 52 games I was down there. I think when I came back up before going to the playoffs, I think I scored 18 goals. Wow. with the North Stars. So I ended up scoring 50 goals, actually, you know, overall that year, and then going into the playoffs and scoring another 14. Yeah. But, you know, you're never satisfied, and that credit goes to my dad. You know, he was old-fashioned, came from Italy, hard worker, you know, told me never to be satisfied, and, you know, he really drove me and, you know, able to play 19 years and then ultimately, you know, getting the phone call today. I mean, it's pretty sweet, so I'm really going to enjoy this one.
I don't know the answer to this question, so it's not rhetorical or anything. I wonder how many undrafted guys there are in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Probably, if there are any, you probably count them on one hand, Channy?
There'd be a few, but...
Not many.
Not many. It's an accomplishment, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this. You know, it is... most people have felt that the reason it took this long for you to get into the Hockey Hall of Fame was the result of an issue, maybe two issues, off the ice. Do you feel that was the reason that this has taken so long? And how do you feel about that? How do you react to that? Do you think that was reasonable or fair?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not perfect. Made a couple mistakes in my life, and obviously you couldn't go back. I tried to play the game the best I could, the way I was taught, you know, to play hard and just leave everything on the ice. And it probably did have some effect on it, you know, but that was out of my control, and that's why it's such an honor. I mean, it's a pretty impressive committee, you know, that's involved with the Hockey Hall of Fame, and when they think I'm good enough to be in there, and I get the call from them, it's something you're going to cherish, and you know it's such a big honor. You're going to remember this for the rest of your life.
We tried to put it into context of others who have made into halls of fame who have had issues off the ice, and there are numerous. And we're not trying to compare apples to oranges here, but. Did you feel it was fair, or did you feel slighted that somehow your performance on the ice should have been the criteria that was judged, and perhaps it wasn't?
You know, you guys knew the way I played. I respected the game. I respect other players, but you know what? I could only control, you know, how I played the game, and I couldn't control how everybody thought. Or what they thought of me, and you know, I want to think I was a pretty loyal team player. I stuck up for my teammates, and every city that, I left it on the ice, and the fans. I think the fans showed me their appreciation, and I mean that's all I could control.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think I was slighted. I was going to leave it up to the committee, and you know whoever was in charge. And it was. That's when I got the call today. It was pretty emotional because I thought of my parents, and I thought of just everybody that's been so supportive along the way.
Actually, sure. It's interesting. I would tell you right now, Dino, that this was the first year I didn't hear a Dino Cicerelli campaign, and how ironic that is to know that. Without the campaign, you're in the Hall of Fame, and all those years where people were campaigning for you, they seemed to almost leave you off the ballot.
Well, you know what? That came up. Obviously, it's only been a couple hours. I've heard that maybe from four or five people since, and you know what? It is. It's almost scary that it was that way. And, I think a lot of people, I guess in my camp, family, friends, they knew I didn't want to talk about it. And there was media calling me, and, you know, no disrespect, I didn't call them back. I didn't want to talk about it until, you know, I actually got a call from somebody from the hall. And this is probably the least, you know, that anybody's ever talked about it, and then to get the call. So it was very different, but a great result.
The good news is next year on this date, you can do whatever the hell you want. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's funny. I'm excited to just being able to celebrate this thing with a lot of people. And like I said, I always said to myself, if I ever had the opportunity to win a cup, you know, and I'd be in front of, as a kid, you always dream about that.
Sure you do.
And as a professional, I'm still playing. I'm thinking, hey, there's so many guys that have played the game, and there's so many of them that didn't get a chance to win a cup. And I always said, if I ever got the opportunity to win one, I would say, I'd say this is for all the guys that, you know, never won and that are great players. And, you know, I'd be the first to say that right now. I'm fortunate enough to get in there. And there's so many great players that have never won a cup and never been in the hall. And, those are the first guys I want to toast. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
well,
I do.
Save the speech for November the 8th in Toronto.
So, yeah, I'm excited. Trust me, it's going to be plump full with a lot of relatives and fans and family. And we're going to have a huge party. Trust me.
Congratulations, Dino.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks, guys.
Dino Ciccarelli, a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame, and many would say about time. His performance on the ice certainly was deserving. His statistics warrant his selection. And at least in my mind, there's no question the issues off the ice did have to play a role.
I think they were definitely a factor. The other factor to me, and it's my personal opinion, for an NHL player to be considered for the Hall is what role he played in winning Stanley Cups, and I think that was another factor with Dino not winning.
That's a good point.
Dino not winning a cup, I think, plays a big factor. There's a lot of that's a very subjective discussion.
Yeah, I've never been big on that. I think Stanley Cups are won by a group, and individual accomplishments are what get you into the Hall of Fame.
Team sport, though.
That's what I mean. Well, but they don't put teams in the Hall of Fame, so I don't know how you equate winning Stanley Cups. I mean, is Dan Marino less of a great quarterback because he never won a Super Bowl?
No, that's why the numbers have to be exceptional.
Well, but the numbers are pretty exceptional.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with you, Bob.
I mean, I'll tell you right honestly, when I'm in the process, in any kind of process like this, in a team sport, championships are virtually irrelevant because an individual cannot control that. I've never seen an individual win a championship. You must be surrounded by a certain level of talent. You can't put, there's no player, no athlete that's been great enough to win by himself. Whether it's a Gretzky in hockey or a Bobby Orr in hockey or a Michael Jordan in basketball, you need some help around you.
When you're on the committee, you can give that.
That will be a snowy day in June when I'm on that committee.
Well, that ain't today.
That ain't today. From one Hall of Famer to another, Cammy Granato, when we come back and Primetime continues on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius 97 and Rogers Sportsnet.
Primetime Sports is on the Fan Radio Network, Rogers Sportsnet and Sirius Channel 97.
Minutes before the hour. Yesterday we had the great pleasure of talking to Angela James on this program, and we talked to her with not knowing. Mm-hmm. You know, was this going to be was it going to be the first time lucky? Was it going to happen? How was she going to feel about it? And of course she couldn't respond. But now we get a chance to talk to somebody who got into the Hockey Hall of Fame, because the two names that were most prominent in the discussion from the women's side were Angela James and Cammy Granato. And today, for both of them, the phone call came. Here's Cammy Granato, a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. How does that sound?
Hi, guys. That sounds pretty nice, actually. And if you're asking me to try to describe it, even though she couldn't, now that I'm in, I still can't describe it.
So, midday today in Vancouver, I guess the phone rings. And
actually, I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, are you?
Time zone, though. Yeah, I'm in. I'm at a family reunion, and I was putting my 6-month-old to sleep, and the call came, and I grabbed it and shift gears a little bit there. It was amazing. It was. I honestly didn't even know what the committee was saying. I was just in awe. I was awestruck, and just incredibly honored. And yeah, it was a great call. And then the great part is I'm with my entire family. There's 21 of us.
Oh, great.
On the beach here, and we had a little apple cider, sparkling apple cider with some cheers, and been celebrating all day, so it's pretty cool.
Now did you look at the call display before you answered the phone?
Well, I saw 416.
You said, uh-oh.
And I said, maybe. That could be. So, yeah, it was pretty cool to get that call. Something I'll never forget.
And truthfully, Cammie, let's face it, in a family, as some would describe as the first family of hockey in the United States, with your brothers Don and Tony that have had great contributions to the game of hockey in the United States and the NHL, and you can turn to them and say, what have you done for me lately now? I mean, holy smokes.
Well, you know, it's funny because I kind of felt like I was the cheated one when I was younger, honestly, just because, growing up, for me, we all had the same dreams. We all wanted to play in the Blackhawks because that's what, we had season tickets to the Blackhawks because we grew up in Chicago. And so when I realized that, I was different from my brothers when I got a little bit older, it was tough. It was actually tough to handle, and I just didn't understand why they could go further in the sport. And getting recognized like this today, I mean, it's something I never fathomed. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, put it in perspective, because as you probably understand, talk shows across this country are talking about you and Angela a great deal and whether you deserve to be in there or not. Mm-hmm. When was the last year you played boys hockey?
I played until I was 18 years old.
Wow.
So your career, you've it's not as if you've invented and became a women's hockey player in the last decade.
No, we didn't fall out of the sky when we went to the Olympics. We've been playing all our lives, and we had been playing, most of us side by side with the boys. And, breaking down barriers and naysayers is something that we're used to.
Yep.
But being recognized by the hall and having that support and having that recognition is incredible. It just doesn't get better than that.
All right, so you grew up wanting to play in the National Hockey League, which, is natural and understandable. But you reached a point where, I don't know whether it was possible, but it was at least, you could at least contemplate that possibility. So here's the great hypothetical question. I'll give you a career in the National Hockey League or the Hockey Hall of Fame. Which would you take?
Well, that's the, what if you could have both?
Well, you might have been
really
able to have
career,
both.
And then, that's a hypothetical. I mean, because today I'm celebrating this amazing honor, so obviously this is it. This is it. I mean, this is, it's reserved for such great players, and to think that I could be included in that group, I can't comprehend that. That's just not even, it's just so hard to even come to terms with that, but I'm so, so excited, and yeah, I haven't really been able to wipe the smile off my face all day.
And the truth is, you played your entire career without really being able to aspire to get to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I never thought that was possible.
No.
And even when you're a kid, and, even my brothers, I don't think they even, you don't think that when you're just playing because you love it and you're playing, and, maybe your dreams are to make the NHL or to make whatever team, but you don't think of that. And then this is sort of, my career has been over for about 5 or 6 years, and to be able to sit here and be, get this honor, it's like an extension to your career. It's so hard to describe it. I don't know. It's just such new feeling. So I'm having trouble with the words, guys. Sorry, but
no, not at all.
It's pretty cool.
Well, when you consider the role you've played in inspiring young women and probably a few young men along the way to play the game, compare this to there are those of us who were fortunate to be in Nagano in 1998.
Yeah.
Compare it to winning that first gold.
You know what? Honestly, today I felt like there were a couple times where I was speechless in my career, and one of them was when I won a gold, and it was today. I felt sort of the same way where it's something that you just can't believe you achieved, or, in this case, was someone, gave me this honor. It's just too hard to explain, and I felt the same way when we won. It was just so hard to put into words. So this is like, I don't know, it's just, it's incredible.
Have you decided what the celebration's going to be tonight?
I don't know yet. We're just enjoying the sun right now, and everyone's sort of hanging out on their lawn chairs together. I think it's really great timing that we're all together, because there's 21 of us. My parents are here, and my kids and all my nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters. So, this is like, can't get any better.
Good year for Granada's when the Blackhawks win the cup and Cammy gets into the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
This is great. What a year.
We couldn't be happier for you. Congratulations. We'll see you November the 8th.
Yep.
Thank you guys.
Here in Toronto. And thanks a lot for today, Cammy.
Thank you so much, guys.
Cammy Granato, along with Angela James and Dino Ciccarelli, the players elected into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Interesting story is that they never played, Angela James and Cammy Granato never played head-to-head in the Olympics because Angela James was cut
by that team, right?
By Shannon Miller.
Yeah.
Just prior to that Olympic Games, which was quite a controversy.
Oh, yeah.
And Canada loses the gold medal game without Angela James in the lineup. So.
Yeah.
Shannon Miller, where are you now?
The break, and we'll wrap it up. This is Primetime on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius 97 and Rogers Sportsnet.
Primetime Sports is on the Fan Radio Network, Rogers Sportsnet, and Sirius Channel 97.
Like you owe me.
Oh, really?
Are we on now?
I'll buy you a coffee.
What's a good day? I'm happy.
This is a hockey day.
It's a hockey day. There was a lot of hockey stuff that happened today. But, I mean, I'm happy for Granato and James. I'm happy for the system. I'm happy. I this is right. This is the right thing to do.
Yep.
And anybody who thinks that this is the wrong thing to do, you are an idiot.
Yeah. And it is a hockey Hall of Fame. And there are some people from other countries that need to be considered to be put in the hall long before we worry about whether certain other players get in.
We didn't talk about the World Cup today. We should make note that there's a tremendous amount of speculation, and I actually have confirmation. They are dusting off the guillotine in France.
You're kidding me.
For the return of their team.
Watch out for Uruguay.
Off with their heads. See you tomorrow.